Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Lori Coburn with the Poetic Energy Network, Breaking Free with Lori Coburn on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight we are talking about twin flames, soulmates, and A Course in Miracles. How do you get to enlightenment through the path of soulmates and twin flames? And what does A Course in Miracles have to say about that? You can call in with your questions at 917-932-8881. We welcome your calls, or you can also go into the chat room. And we are going to take your questions so that we can expand on what is the definition of enlightenment, what is the definition of soulmates, and what is the definition of true forgiveness. I'd like to start out with just some brief definitions so we know what we're talking about and that we're on the same page. Soulmates are people in our lives that A Course in Miracles would call our chosen learning partners. Those are about half a dozen people in our lives, and these are the people that are the closest to us, and they give us our biggest forgiveness lessons. In A Course in Miracles, we get back to our true self, to our higher self, our God self, through forgiveness in relationships. A Course in Miracles is a path that's all about relationships. It tells us that you can get to God in many other ways, but if you're taking the path as explained by A Course in Miracles, then forgiveness and relationship, seeming relationship difficulties, will be the way for you. And that was really helpful for me when I read it, and when I, after years of studying A Course in Miracles, when I finally forgave myself for having difficulty forgiving my twin flame. What is a twin flame? Well, a twin flame could be seen as the other half of your soul, the soulmate of soulmates, your biggest forgiveness learning partner in this lifetime. A twin flame is someone who mirrors your darkness and your light so perfectly that you can't hide anything. You just cannot hide a single thing. So in order to get to enlightenment, you have to forgive every piece of darkness in you, every piece of darkness that you've projected into the world. And what you will often do is project that darkness onto your twin flame. So that's basically what a twin flame is, as opposed to a regular soulmate. A twin flame can be your lover. It can be a brother, a sister, a friend, or whatever. What we're talking about mostly here are twin flames that are romantic. And those can present all kinds of challenges when you're in a romantic relationship. But the forgiveness lessons can be just as strong if the person is your child or a friend or whatever. Let's look at what the definition of enlightenment is according to A Course in Miracles. There's a line in Lesson 188 of A Course in Miracles that says, "Enlightenment is but a recognition, not a change at all." What does that mean? Enlightenment is to be in the light, to be filled with the light of your true being. What we are in our true self is light and love. Love is the only thing that exists. And A Course in Miracles tells us that we have dreamed up all of these bodies here on earth. We've actually dreamed up the entire earth, all the things out there, all the forms that make us feel separate from one another. In this dreaming, we've left our source. You can call that your higher self. You can call it God. You can call it Creator, Source, the Universal, Great Spirit, whatever you call it. But when we think that we are these small self personalities and bodies, we feel alone and we feel separate. And that is actually an illusion. So enlightenment in A Course in Miracles is the awakening to the awareness that we have never left our source. So when A Course in Miracles says enlightenment is but a recognition, not a change at all, it means we have this insight, this mind awakening to the truth. And that comes in what the Course calls a holy instant. It also comes when we forgive other people. And that's why A Course in Miracles, the practical application of it, is about forgiving those people in our lives that push our buttons the most. And frequently, those will be our romantic soulmates or twin flames. What we tend to do is we project onto them all of the things we don't like in ourselves. When we feel guilty, when we feel small, when we feel alone in this world, we don't like feeling that way. And so we dump it on someone else. And here's the interesting thing. When we first meet a soulmate or a twin flame, what happens is we think we've found nirvana. We've found heaven. We'll never be alone again. And our conscious recognition is, wow, I've just found someone who really is a true soulmate, someone who understands me, somebody who shares things with me. And that is actually true, because when we fall in love, what we're seeing is what could be called the higher self, the Christ self, Christ consciousness, or the beingness, the love that we are. When we fall in love, that actually is our true self. And if it's a soulmate or a twin flame, that intensity of that connection is that much deeper than with the other people in our lives. Now, ultimately, everyone is a soulmate because we are all one self. However, as we travel this earth, or we seem to travel this earth in these bodies, there will be those half dozen or so chosen learning partners, soulmates, or a twin flame who give us the opportunity for the most mirroring of our higher self. So it's just more intense and deep. I like to use the example of if you wonder who your soulmate is or how can I tell, it's kind of like a person who has several children. And they might be very close to one of those, say, three or four kids. Why? They just are. They love them all. In fact, they love them all equally. But the bond with that one goes a little bit deeper. And often we will have this with one of our two parents. We're a soulmate with one of them, but not the other one. For example, my dad, I feel, is a soulmate of mine. He's out of the body now, but that doesn't change the relationship with him. He's a soulmate of mine, but I don't think my mother is. Why? Well, just because. I'm very close to my mom. I connect with her quite well. And I could actually talk to my mom in a lot of ways better than I could talk to my dad, because she's a female and she understands what women go through. And yet, there is a bond with my dad that's not quite as strong as with my mom. Why? Who knows? Who knows? And it doesn't really ultimately matter. It's just whoever is your learning partner, that's who the person is. So getting back to how we get enlightened through the path of A Course in Miracles and soulmates or twin flames, what we need to recognize is that when we do fall in love and we initially see the higher self of the other person and we get a reflection of our own true self, what happens is there's another agenda going on. And this is how we get to enlightenment, by facing this agenda. This is the ego's agenda. Now, what is the ego? The ego is the part of our personality that is rooted in the physical form. The part of us that believes that we are bodies. The part of us that is in competition with other bodies. There's no way we can be these bodies or think we are these bodies without being informed by a belief in scarcity. If we look around us at the world, the belief in scarcity and the competition for scarce resources is all around us, whether it's at a national level and we want another country's resources, or we want another country's land or another country's population, or whether it's with our neighbors and we build fences so they don't come on our property, or whether it's just even in traffic where someone cuts us off and we feel, you took my lane, you turned in front of me. Or it can be about food. There's not enough food to go around. We better make sure that I get mine. We always want to get our slice of the pie. It could be competition over relationships. I want to be that person's boyfriend or girlfriend, and I don't want anybody else to be. Competition, scarcity, separation is all around us when we believe that we are these small selves. There's no way out of that when we believe that. The way we do get out of it, though, is through forgiveness. Forgiving the belief in separation. Forgiving the belief in competition. And forgiving the belief in a world in which we've left our home, we've left God, and we have to somehow find our way back. When we wake up, we realize we're already back. We're already home. And that is the simple enlightenment that A Course in Miracles talks about. Okay. Now, if we go into further definitions of relationships in A Course in Miracles, it calls every relationship that we have in this world a special relationship. Special relationships are defined as those relationships that we use as substitutes for God's love. We feel separate. We feel like we've lost God's love. And so when we meet someone else, or we have some type of hobby, because it can be a person or it can be a hobby or a thing, when we meet somebody else, say, for example, our twin flame or our soulmate, our conscious contract with them is, boy, I feel alone and separate in this world. I feel like I've lost myself. I feel like I've lost God. But you like me and I like you, and together we don't feel so alone. And then what happens is we take this person, and that is where we feel like that person has become a substitute for God for us. So the soulmate twin flame relationship then becomes what's called a special relationship. And the special relationship will ultimately end in failure, because special relationships are designed to keep the separateness going. Okay, so that may be a little bit confusing at first. Let's just take a look at that a little bit more. The conscious contract is, we fall in love, we're here to love each other, we're here to make each other happy. the unconscious contract with the ego between bodies is that we actually want to destroy each other. And this is the part that we don't want to hear. This is the part with soulmates and twin flames that is not talked about quite as much. But I'm happy to say I read a book yesterday called Wabi Sabi Love by Ariel Ford, who writes about soulmates. And she does talk about, hey, once you get together with your soulmate, it is not all easy. And you have to do a lot of work to keep yourselves from falling apart. I was really glad to see that, because that often isn't talked about too much. Okay, so here we are with this unconscious contract to destroy each other. When we want to destroy each other, if we don't start turning the relationship over to our higher self, we can call that the Holy Spirit, or we can call it God, or we can call it our angel or guides, or turn it over to love, whatever term you use. We have to make a conscious decision to commit the relationship to that higher source, because if we don't, then that unconscious contract of the ego that wants to destroy each other and destroy the relationship will take over. We're on Blog Talk Radio, the Poetic Energy Network, Breaking Free with psychotherapist Lori Coburn. The call-in number is 917-932-8881. You can call in with your questions about soulmates and twin flames, A Course in Miracles, your chosen forgiveness lessons, and enlightenment, because that's what we're talking about tonight. When we're in the relationship and the ego takes over, the ego is quite jealous. The ego wants its own things to be done, its own contract. Think about it in your relationships. In your love, in your primary love relationship, think about the things that get you going or irritate you about your partner. Those are the things where we feel like, oh, he got his way and I didn't get mine, or she got her way and I'm always sacrificing for her. One of the things about the ego is that it always feels like it's cheated. It feels like a victim, and it feels like the other person is getting more than he's getting. And then it's resentful. It doesn't like it. Now, what we do with that, when we see that going on, we forgive it. We turn it over to our higher mind, to the Holy Spirit, to the part of our mind that chooses for joining and for union and for oneness instead of separate interests. The way that we use relationships for enlightenment is to forgive every grievance that we have so that we can return our mind to the awareness of the oneness and the unity of pure abstract love. Bodies can never be one. Bodies truly cannot join. Even when we have sex and we're joined as closely as we can in the physical, there's still separation because we can't fully get into the other person. We long for that. We long for that unity. Why do we want our soulmate? Because we long for oneness. We have this memory of God in our being where we want so much to get back to that. And so when we meet our twin flame or our soulmate and we fall in love, we get a glimpse of what that's like. Yet what it is here is only a fraction of what it really is in truth, what it really is in at home, in heaven, if you will, in our oneness with God. And when we fall in love here, but then the love starts fading and we get into all the problems that we're having, we say, what happened? How could something so right have gone so wrong? There's all kinds of songs about that. How did we break up? That wasn't supposed to happen. That was really wonderful. Oh my gosh, what in the world happened? Can't we reunite? Can't we get back together? And the answer is yes, you can. Yes, you can. When you forgive and when you turn your relationship over to the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, what happens is that most of us, when we meet our soulmate and our twin flame, if we're young or if we aren't very evolved, some people who are young are quite evolved spiritually, but other people don't evolve spiritually until the second half of their lives, after 40 or after 50. I know I didn't even start maturing until I was 45. So when I met my twin flame when I was in my late 20s, I was completely immature and a complete basket case, and so was he, and we absolutely blew it. We fought all the time. The closeness, the oneness, the intensity, and the passion were also there, more intense and more deep than anything I have ever felt in my life, and it continues to this day, even though I've hardly seen him more than once or twice in 20 years. That doesn't matter. Time and space are not involved in twin flame and soulmate relationships, nor are they really involved in any relationships, because truly our souls are outside of time and space. They are eternal. Only bodies are in time and space. That's why you can be separated from your soulmate or your twin flame, but the relationship goes on. And what needs to be done is that even if the relationship has ended, you can still move toward enlightenment through the relationship by forgiving the things that seemed to happen in the relationship. For example, I was very angry at my twin flame for running away, which is a common phenomenon in twin flame relationships because they're so intense. Very often, one of them will run away. And I ran away in my mind also. So I ran away emotionally, mentally. He ran away physically. But the path to enlightenment has still gone on as I've forgiven him and continued to forgive him. And that brings us to what A Course in Miracles calls true forgiveness. A Course in Miracles defines forgiveness differently than other paths. In the world's forgiveness, what we're doing is we are forgiving the other person for something they did wrong. And we, in our magnanimous, big person mode, are saying, well, I'll be the bigger person and I will forgive you, you jerk. In A Course in Miracles, it says, we are dreaming. We are dreaming that we are this particular person and that that person is that particular person. We are dreaming the world. We're making it all up. And in this dream, all of these dream figures are doing exactly what we would have them do. So by taking responsibility for our dreams and coming to the awareness of, I am my higher self. I am not this small self person who was victimized or could possibly be victimized. And I choose to forgive this whole darn situation for all the chaos and all the problems that seemed to happen. It's in that forgiveness that your mind is restored to truth. And that's where you wake up. And in that moment, you are enlightened, you are filled with the light of truth. That's how forgiveness happens in A Course in Miracles, and that's what's called true forgiveness. True forgiveness is that it's a dream and nothing has ever happened. You thought you split into other bodies that could attack and hurt each other, and in truth, you're still one, and you're still home. We're on Blog Talk Radio, the Poetic Energy Network, Breaking Free with psychotherapist Lori Coburn. The call-in number is 917-932-8881. And my website is www.loricoburn.com. That's Lori, L-O-R-R-I, two R's, Coburn, C-O-B-U-R-N.com. And I have written a book on A Course in Miracles called Breaking Free, How Forgiveness and A Course in Miracles Can Set You Free. My Facebook page is that, Breaking Free. And also, I have a Facebook page on soulmates and twin flames. And that Facebook page is called Even Soulmates Get the Blues, which is the name of my next book that I am currently working on. The Even the Soulmates Get the Blues title comes from the fact that it is not all happily ever after. However, you do get to happily ever after when you forgive. It's only through forgiveness of the illusion, forgiveness of the separate interests, the forgiveness that you're a body that could hurt me, those types of things, that leads to awakening. What I'm writing my book on are movies that exemplify the soulmate and twin flame relationship and show forgiveness or show lack of forgiveness. One of the movies that I'm writing about is Walk the Line, with about Johnny Cash and June Carter. I just saw a YouTube video of them today. Oh, it is absolutely beautiful. It shows them in all these different scenarios, and you can just tell the way Johnny looks at June is the most amazingly loving thing. It's incredibly beautiful. And so there's one YouTube site where you could just look that up, and it has all these different images, and they're singing to each other in the background, and it's just beautiful. And yet, what happened when they first met? When they first met, they were a mess. They couldn't get together for quite a few years because they weren't evolved. They hadn't forgiven themselves. They hadn't learned to give the relationship to God or to the Holy Spirit. They were both married, and or at least one of them was married. I'm not exactly sure who was married for how long. In the movie, I don't know if the movie is exactly like their life or takes liberties like movies often do. But one of the things it shows in that movie is all the guilt that Johnny Cash had over his brother's death. And what happens is when we have guilt over anything, that is going to come out in our life in some way, and often will come out on our twin flame when we're acting the guilt out. In Johnny's case, it came out not so much on June Carter as on himself in his drug addiction and his alcoholism. And one of the ways that June Carter was his angel and was helping him was she said, "I am not going to be with you if you continue to drink and use drugs." And I think that that's where the origin of that song, Walk the Line, came from. I'll walk the line because I love you. I'll walk the line and I won't do that anymore. And so her insistence that he love himself so that he could then truly love her and not just act like a drunk helped him heal. And that's the purpose of all relationships, not just soulmates and twin flames, but all relationships are about that. They are mirrors for us. Whatever it is about us that needs healing, our relationship partner will throw that in our face and say, "Are you going to do it or not?" And or else the relationship will break up. If June Carter had stayed codependent with him and didn't insist that he get clean, or she had broken her own sense of values and moved in with him when he wasn't straightened around, then it probably wouldn't have worked. And yet, what happened was, even though he was really, really messed up, their bond was so strong, they kept coming back together. They would separate, they came back together. Separate, come back together. And that's one of the hallmarks of the twin flame relationship, is that that longing for reunion keeps bringing the two back together. And there are stories of people who have met or seen their twin flame or their soulmate at an early age, and because they're not quite ready for them, they don't actually get back together with them until later in life, when they're ready. There's a line in A Course in Miracles that says, "Those who are to meet will meet. There are no accidents in salvation." And what that means is that we save each other. We are each other's saviors, in the sense that we bring up everything in our partner that needs to be healed. Johnny brought stuff up in June that needed to be healed. He confronted her. She ran away from their twin flame bond by marrying somebody else. And he said, "Oh, yeah, right. Are you going to be happy? Sure, you're going to be happy with this guy, being your nice little Christian girl who's doing the right thing. You're lying to yourself." So he threw it in her face. And that's what our twin flame will do to us. They'll throw it in our face, whatever we're lying to ourselves about or whatever we don't see in ourselves. And those are the things that need to be healed. Ways that we're not loving ourselves, ways that we're not being true to ourselves, the masks that we wear that are false. The twin flame comes into our life to put that right in our face and to say, "Stop it. Do you want to grow? Do you want to live? Do you want to be happy? Or do you want to just kowtow to society, what society tells you you should do? Or do you want to take risks? Do you really want to live?" Because if you're with your twin flame or your soulmate, you're going to get chances to really, truly live and live fully. One of the other movies that I do, that I'm writing about in the book, is Revolutionary Road. That movie is quite sad. Now, that is one of the movies where it's tragic. And it's got an ending that is, sadly, too much like real life. And people don't really want to watch it. I know when I mentioned it to my sister, "Have you seen Revolutionary Road?" And she said, "Oh, I hated that movie." That's because it ended sadly. And I don't want to give away the ending here. But what happens is there are these two soulmates. I forget their names right off. Frank and someone. The Wheelers. And they initially start out really being vibrant young people. And then they end up having a couple kids that lock them into suburbia. And he is in this job that he hates. And she gets this idea one day of, "Why don't we move to Paris? You always wanted to move to Paris. I've always wanted to move to Paris. Why don't we just do it?" Even though they had two young kids. So they make these plans and they fall in love again and they're all excited. And then he gets a promotion in his job. And the job happened to be one where his father also worked at that company. And he wanted to surpass what his father had accomplished. So he took the promotion, which did not allow them to go to Paris. And that made her really angry because she said, "I just don't love you anymore. How can I love somebody who doesn't choose to live?" And he was saying, "Well, how can you not allow me to go higher in my career and to do something good and we can make our we can make a happy Paris type of life here. And she said, no, we can't. And that's one of the examples that often comes up in soulmate twin flame relationships, is you get to an impasse where it's my needs against yours, which is the ego script for separation and for destruction. And what ended up happening in this movie is they ended up destroying each other, really destroying each other according to this ego script. So the higher self script would be to come back to their oneness, to use forgiveness, both of them to use forgiveness, to turn the relationship over to the Holy Spirit for its purpose rather than the ego's purpose. Because when they were running on the ego script, they were screaming at each other. It was just, I want this. No, I want this. Well, how can you say that? Well, how can you say that? Typical fights. We have a greater than 50% divorce rate. So always these relationships that start out in love end up in this major destruction and major hatred. And that's the ego's script running. And what's really important when you're doing A Course in Miracles, or even if you're not doing A Course in Miracles, but you just want your soulmate or twin flame relationship to work, if you're not aware that this is a force that's running to destroy yourself and to destroy your relationship, and you don't take charge of that force, and you don't actively choose love every single time that goes on, your relationship is going to go up in flames. It will self-destruct, and you'll destroy each other because you'll end up hating each other. And it's very, very important to pay attention. This movie, Revolutionary Road, shows those dynamics so clearly. It's got Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet, and they're excellent together in this movie. And it's through forgiving. If they had said, okay, let's forgive this. Let's see what the highest good for all is, for the oneness, for our family, for both of us. How can we have everyone's needs met? If they had turned it over to God or to their higher self, there could have been a solution. But they didn't find the solution because they kept competing with each other. And they hated each other because one got his way and the other one didn't get his way. And so rather than being able to stay in a place of unity and love, hatred came about. And that's what happens in our relationships. If the other person gets what they want and we don't get what we want, we end up hating them. Now, we may soft pedal that and say, oh, no, I don't hate them. I'm just irritated. You've got to be honest and look deeper. Underneath irritation, underneath anger, is hatred and self-destruction. And that's where the forgiveness and the honesty to be able to forgive comes in. Because we have to look at the dream we made. We're dreaming this dream. We made up the dream in order to forget our true identity. And so when the dream plays out, we have to go, wow, oh my gosh, I'm making this up. I don't like this. I don't want this. I need to choose differently, because if I don't choose differently, I'm in big trouble here. And the relationship's in big trouble. Taking a break here, the call-in number, if you have any questions about soulmates, twin flames, A Course in Miracles, and the path to enlightenment through forgiveness, the call-in number is 917-932-8881. This is Blog Talk Radio with the Poetic Energy Network, and I'm Lori Coburn with Breaking Free with psychotherapist Lori Coburn. My website is loricoburn.com, LORRICOBURN.com, and my Facebook page is Breaking Free, How Forgiveness and A Course in Miracles Can Set You Free. And the other Facebook page on Twin Flames and Soulmates is Even Soulmates Get the Blues. We're talking about enlightenment, A Course in Miracles, and the special relationships between soulmates and twin flames. A Course in Miracles says that soulmates and twin flames are special relationships, but so are everything else on this level. So it's not a bad thing that they become special. When they become special, they are substitutes for God's love, substitutes for our higher self's love. And in that specialness, we stay in love as long as that other person meets our special needs, as long as that other person stays special to us and makes us feel special. Then we keep the special relationship contract. What we have to be careful for is that special relationship contract is also the self-destruction and the relationship destruction contract. So using this movie as an example again, Revolutionary Road, when the woman in the movie saw that her husband was this bright, charismatic guy who wasn't afraid to live, and he had been in Paris during the war, and he always wanted to go back there. And she fell in love with this guy that wasn't afraid to take risks and wanted to go see the world. And he said he was most alive when he was in Paris. And when they started talking about going to Paris, he came alive again and said, I can do it. I can leave this dumb job that I hate, that I'm just doing in order to get my dead dad's approval, and we can go. And she fell in love with him again because she was an actress and she was dramatic and she loved the idea of Paris. And then when he got scared and decided to follow the job promotion, that's when her love for him, which really is not love at all, her love for him turned to hate. I hate you. And she says that in the movie, I hate you. And then the next day when she calms down, she says, no, I don't hate you. But she has lost her quote-unquote love for him. And that's the thing we need to look at, is that true love does not go away when we don't get our needs met. We have to forgive. We have to actively choose love over and over and over again. We have to constantly turn our relationship over to the Holy Spirit or our higher self or God, whatever you want to call it, love. When the Course in Miracles says those who are to meet will meet, it also says because together they have the potential to form a holy relationship. All relationships here start out as special relationships with ego expectations. As long as you make me feel special and I make you feel special and you meet my needs and I meet your needs, then everything's copacetic. But the minute you refuse my needs, or the minute you make me feel my guilt again, then you are to be damned. For example, take a guy who has sexual issues and he gets with a woman who makes him feel special sexually, and she never turns him down, and she always makes him feel masculine, and she wants him to feel good. One day, she says, no, I don't feel like it, or, you know what, you need to take a shower, or, you know what, I just don't want to today. He gets pissed. He's mad. There you go. There's the ego contract, of I'll take care of you, and you take care of me. And if you don't, then I don't like you anymore. I don't care for you anymore. All of our relationships have these things going on. And so we're not bad for having that. But we have to look at what are our special relationship contracts. What are we demanding, consciously or unconsciously, from our partners? And those things have to be brought to the light and forgiven. Because it's in forgiving them that we then wake up. We wake up that, oh my gosh, I created a dream. I created a dream in which I put this person in here to make me start to feel happy and then to make me feel miserable again. Another piece of the dynamics of all of this is that A Course in Miracles says that we feel guilty for feeling like we're separate individuals, for feeling like we have these separate needs and that we've left our source. We feel guilty for having done that. And then because that guilt and shame of feeling alone, separate, like we're apart from God, like we've angered God by separating from God, that guilt is so intolerable that we project that guilt onto our partners. So initially we fall in love because they make us feel special. But the minute they don't make us feel special anymore, we project that guilt onto them, and then we can't stand them. That happens to all of us. We fall in love. We go through the honeymoon phase. And then what happens a couple months later? Why did I ever fall in love with this person? He's not so great, or she's not so great. And in fact, I don't like this and this and this and this and this about that person. And we move into a power struggle phase where we try to get our own needs met above the other person getting their needs met. So the whole thing is, again, coming back to forgiveness. Oh, I see what I've done. I'm trying to feel good about myself by getting that other person to acknowledge me the way I want, to give me what I want. Let's take another example. Say a woman who feels insecure and she doesn't like her looks very much ends up with a guy who is a handsome guy, attracts women very easily, and she feels really special. Oh, wow, he likes me. They get together. They're in a steady relationship. They go out to a restaurant, and he glances at another woman or possibly stares at another woman, and she goes crazy. You're looking at these other women. Yes, I no longer feel special because you're looking at those other women. You don't love only me. You've just broken our contract, and now I hate you. You are a nasty man. I can't stand you. Why are you doing this? And then he can turn around and say, well, you're a crab. You're witchy. All you do is complain. And so his special relationship contract might have been something like, oh, I've got this cool lady who's sexy and pretty, and she just thinks I'm great. But here she is bitching at me. She's complaining. She's not liking something I'm doing, and I don't like it. I don't like being told what to do. I don't like being accused. I wasn't doing anything all these other men don't do. I'm just glancing. I'm not having sex with her or anything. So here they've gone into this special relationship contract where each of them now no longer feels special to the other, and so it's turned into hate. What we normally try to do with these things is we try to fix it. We each try to fix it in our own ego-based ways. She tries to fix it by saying, don't look at other women. Stop looking at other women. And he tries to fix it by saying, stop yelling at me. Or let's just not go out. There's no point. Or really, I'm not looking at the other women. Would you just stop it? So they're each trying to fix it that way. But there is a solution that does awaken us from our dream. And that's not at the level of behavior. It's at the level of our mind. We have to say to the part of our mind that remembers that we're dreaming, and let's call that our right mind. We have our wrong mind that's full of the ego craziness. And we also have a right mind that remembers the truth. What we do here is we say to our right mind, show me how to see this differently. Help me to have a new perception. Help me to wake up from the dream that I am dreaming, in which there's all these attacks and separateness going on. I really don't want this. I really want a loving relationship. I don't want all this fear and craziness and hatred and destruction going on in my relationship. When you do that, and when you go to the level of mind to change it, and you forgive from that level, that's when miracles happen. That's what A Course in Miracles is all about. The miracle changes your mind and lets you know that you're dreaming a dream and that you put yourself in the dream as the dream figure, say, called Sue, and you put the other person in the dream as a dream figure, we'll call it John. And in this dream, Sue and John thought they loved each other but really hate each other, and they're attacking each other. But they can be restored to that love and restored to that oneness that they felt when they fell in love through forgiveness, through changing their mind. Often, this restoration through forgiveness will happen even without a change in behavior. For example, if the woman says, I'm choosing to forgive this, I'm choosing to take back my projections and not dump them on him. I'm choosing to feel good about myself and know that I'm attractive, know that I'm worthy, know that I'm pretty, and I'm not going to base it on whether or not he glances at another woman. I'm going to feel it inside of me. Then they can go out to dinner, and if he glances at someone else, she doesn't overreact, or she just says, well, it's his issue if he does have that problem. Or somehow miraculously, it doesn't happen anymore. It just falls away. When we forgive, when we get back to loving ourselves, loving the dream that we've made up, forgiving the dream we've made up, miracles happen. They happen. And in the movie Revolutionary Road, there could have been miracle points at any one of those. She could have been happy for him that he finally got promoted past the level where his dad was, and they could have started having adventures in suburbia, not just in Paris. Or he could have still said, I think we need to go to Paris anyway. Paris is really what I truly want, and we can be happy there. And she was going to get a government job over in Paris, and he was going to look for a job where he could feel free and really express himself, like writing or something artistically. So there could have been any number of solutions that could have come up that would have healed their relationship. But because they continued to blame each other and project their own sense of loss, for example, she felt like life was dead. And unless they did something, they were going to be stuck dead in suburbia with these two kids, boring, awful, icky life forever, and she couldn't stand that. And he felt like a worthless man who couldn't support his family as well as he would like to, even though they actually were quite well off. He felt like he was a loser because he never rose higher in the company, and he wanted to do that and surpass his dad and make his dad proud of him. And so he felt like he couldn't get his self-esteem by going to Paris. So each of them felt like their lives were dead, and they were looking to the other one to fix it for them. So if either one of them had chosen forgiveness and said, I want to see this differently, help me, my right mind, help me, Holy Spirit, to forgive this so that I'm not running the ego's program of destroying myself and destroying my marriage and destroying my life, then the miracle could have happened. We just have a few minutes left. We are at 917-932-8881, and this is the Poetic Energy Network, Breaking Free with psychotherapist Lori Coburn. We're talking about enlightenment and A Course in Miracles and the soulmate and twin flame path along with that. What are your stories? What are your questions? What has gone on in your relationships where you've fallen in love only to be disappointed over and over again, or only to go from one relationship to the other where, oh, new person, same old problem? That's because our relationships are a mirror of our own issues, and the only way to ultimately heal is to work on ourselves and to forgive ourselves. And then what happens is when you go to psychotherapy, that works very well for you to help heal the issues that you carried over from your childhood. say you marry someone who's just like your mother or just like your father, psychotherapy works extremely well to help you identify those issues, set boundaries, make better choices for yourself, and love yourself. The way A Course in Miracles goes beyond psychotherapy is to help you become aware that you're dreaming a dream. Even the dream where you think you were a person who was raised by these two parents who had these issues, and now you're this person who married someone just like one of your parents, and now you're in this dream where you're attacking and fighting, and oh my gosh, the love that you thought was going to save you in this special relationship that made you feel special, that was more special than all the other relationships in your life. The thing you thought was going to save you is actually destroying you. Where A Course in Miracles takes you is beyond that limited sense of I'm this body, you're that body, to the oneness, to the whole, where you recognize that you are the source of love. You are the consciousness, the awareness, the beingness that is projecting itself into a body at this level that happens to be fighting with and attacking and not forgiving another body that has done something to it to victimize it. In the true forgiveness of A Course in Miracles and where we need to get if we are to make our soulmate and twin flame relationships whole, we need to recognize that we can use our soulmate and twin flame as a symbol of love and unity and oneness. And that would be what we would call the higher vision, the right-minded vision, the truth, the love. Or those people, the soulmates and twin flames, can be symbols of separation, symbols of hatred, symbols of destruction. It's our choice in every single moment. The choice that we have in the dream is between two visions. One, the ego's vision of fighting separation, which is where we get the 50% divorce rate, or the Holy Spirit's vision or the love's vision, higher self's vision of unity, oneness, constantly choosing the truth of oneness. Because when you think about it, how can bodies be one? Bodies can't be one. Bodies are two. They're two separate bodies. And that's where we have had a superficial sense of oneness when we join sexually or when we get married and say, now the two have become one. That's all well and good if we can maintain that idea of oneness. But it's really hard to do when we think we're bodies. When all of a sudden our dreams for our marriage fall apart. We have kids. We have a kid, and your parenting style is different than my parenting style. Now all of a sudden, we're not so one anymore, are we? We're fighting. I don't like the way you're raising our kid. I don't like the way you discipline our kid. You're too easy on the kid. Well, you shouldn't. You shouldn't behave that way. Or you're favoring that kid. You're favoring our daughter over our son. Or you like our daughter better than you like me. Or you're spending too much money on the kid. No, we should send our kid to school here. No, we should discipline them. The kid should have homeschooling. No, we should have private schooling. All of these different ways that all of a sudden our dreams of the perfect relationship, our dreams of happiness are being destroyed by this other person with separate ideas and separate needs. And again, what we do with this to wake up, to be enlightened, to have a holy relationship, to restore our twin flame soulmate relationship to its original love and unity is forgiveness. Give it over to your right mind for the true perception, for the wholeness that you're dreaming a dream. And you can return to that oneness, to your source. Your twin flame reflects that love of God in a very intense manner. But the fighting is just as intense when you forget who you really are as the higher self. This is all for this week. We'll be back on next Wednesday. Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm Lori Coburn with Breaking Free with psychotherapist Lori Coburn. Thank you.